Hey Potters, welcome to episode 203 with this Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
Welcome to listeners new and old. If you are just joining us for the first time, where have you been all of our lives?
For the last 9 seasons.
For the last 9, that's 9 years, folks. We have been on the internets for 9 years. We've been on the internet longer than some people watching this have been alive.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that wasn't meant to make you feel old.
And wrinkle and getting crow's feet.
The wrinkles appear.
I'm going to start getting some more gray in my hair. Thanks, Amber.
Oh, I've had that since I was in my 20s.
That's why I said more.
Anyways, welcome to this episode of Cospod, where we will, of course, talk about all things cosplay and costume. Because not everybody cosplays. Some of us just aren't great about the play part of the costume. I can't get in character.
You get in character when you're on stage.
That's about it.
And that counts. That's cosplay.
Otherwise, please let me hide in my cave.
Everything right, and anything so, costuming. There you go.
There you go. So we will start this off, speaking of costuming, with cosplay updates. Do you have anything this time before I go off on a tangent?
No, go.
So, of course, if you guys were with us last episode, and actually technically the episode before that, you guys may have been there when I basically said that this being the year of the rat, I'm going to try and do the opposite this year. I'm going to purge. I'm not going to hoard because rats are hoarders, and I'm very good at hoarding. So, I have actually made the resolution to get rid of all of my spare fabric. So what I have been doing, this is not a pile of fabric. I will have that for you guys in just a moment because I know that's what you basically wait around to watch this episode for. Anyways, I am using my spare fabric to make a screen for my patio door so that I can leave it open and enjoy the nice weather when we get the nice weather. This is Texas. So that I can go out and spray paint my props on the patio and then leave the door open and I can monitor them and make sure they do not roll off of my patio as some of my props have done. Sorry, neighbors. It happens. I have a little metal gate or a little metal fence on my patio. And unfortunately, it has this nice gap underneath.
It has the gap at the bottom. Yeah.
It's 2.5 inches. So anything that's like PVC pipe or maybe pieces of wood, pieces of foam, any bit of wind that gets on my patio.
It just kind of goes whoop.
Out it goes like the envelopes in the cartoons from the mail carriers. Yes. But speaking of what you all are here for, which I know you are here for, the pile of fabric. Here is your pile of fabric. You may check that one off of your list.
It's fabric squares, no less.
Yes, this was for a quilt that I no longer am going to make. So I am taking this and I am turning it into air plants with shelves because the new technique I am going to be learning, because this is cosplay related, I'm going to learn how to stain wood. So I got a bunch of small little corner shelves. These are just little wooden plaques. And I actually have some 2x4s leaning against the wall, but obviously I can't show those to you guys on camera because they don't fit, and I don't think you really need to see a pile of wood. Pile of fabric's bad enough, but I'm going to be staining those and hopefully learning how to work a little bit more with wood, making a bunch of shelves, making some plants out of my spare fabric so I can get it out of my life because this is not appropriate for garments, so I can't use it for cosplay or patterning. Speaking of cosplay... Here's a third pile because third time's a charm. Here's foam.
Yay. Lots of piles.
This is for my corset that I am in the process of remaking because you guys may have known if you were here with me last time that I threw out my old corset because it basically did not hold its shape in the way that I wanted it to be covered with fabric. The fabric would have puckered. So unfortunately, that also took all of my remaining foam with it. I could not salvage the foam because I had used joint tape to basically seal the seams with high temp hot glue. And of course, if anybody's worked with high temp hot glue and foam, you'll tear the foam before you get the glue off.
That's why we love hot glue.
Yep. So I had to basically salvage the remnants of the foam that I have left. So I now have no more fun foam anywhere. This is the last of it. I recut it, so it's do or die on this copy. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go buy more foam. But I did some experimentation because what I would like to do is to take... Okay, technically, I have scrap foam. It's this big. I wanted to take pieces of fabric and wrap the pieces of fabric around the foam, and then you get nice pretty edges, and then you get the nice front. So however, I can't just fold the fabric over when I go to wear the corset. Obviously I have to tack this down somehow. So I was doing some testing, and this is actually glued down. I left the flaps just so that I could see how it was going to react when I go to stitch the edges, because ideally I would be stitching the pieces down along said seams. So the first one that I tried is FabriTac, because of course, if you wish to know how to connect fabric to foam, you can always go to the website This to That. And so of course, with fabric, you want to try and use fabric glues, because fabric doesn't play nicely with some of the other adhesives, as we mentioned on our adhesive show recently.
Mm-hmm.
This works fantastically if the foam is flat. I noticed that as soon as I go to flex it,
yep.
Because there are some pieces that do flex, unfortunately, you know, the human body tends to have a larger waist that, or a larger hips than the waist on women, because we are shaped that way, which means part of the foam is going to have to flare out to fit properly. Well, I noticed that as soon as I go to bend it, the fabric puckers. So I'm still doing a little bit more experimentation, because I can't have the puckering, especially since I have gold spandex and it will show everywhere if it puckers. So I'm going to have to figure out how to keep the foam shaped the way I want and then somehow adhere it in that shape. And then it's never going to be able to leave that shape, because if it for some reason bends any other direction, including back the way it came, then it's going to detach from the foam, and that's going to be very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the whole purpose of me gluing it down. So I only have two more pieces of spare foam to experiment with. So I'm going to have to figure it out one way or another. I think I may end up getting some 3M spray adhesive and try a little bit of that with this shaped. I'm going to probably have to take a heat gun or my hair dryer to it to probably overbend it.
Yeah.
And let it kind of settle back down, because the pieces aren't going to be bent like 60 or, you know, 90 degrees, not even 60 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be more of just like this gentle sort of curve, but it's still going to have some curve to it for most of the pieces. So unfortunately, you know, experiment failed, but lesson learned. I mean, you learn with cosplay, and this is why you keep scraps around, because I do not want to cut into my nice fabric. Though, Joanne's does have Yaya Han fabric 40% off for the next 5 days from this recording.
Which is a good time to go and stock up on it, because it's usually not that big of a discount.
Right. Typically it's 25% off, so 40% off is actually a pretty hefty sale.
Someone in chat suggested darts.
Darts for the fabric that's being glued down,
mm-hmm.
or for the foam?
You probably could do either or. I would imagine for the fabric.
I was gonna say, can you specify?
It just says darts question mark, so I should probably clarify that.
Yeah, the puckering is very, very slight.
It's not going to be...
It's the kind of puckering where if you take like a piece of silk, lay it flat on a table, and then take your hands on both sides and just bunch it ever so slightly. That's the puckering effect I'm getting on the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's very slight. It's almost like ripples of water, but it's very visible, even with the patterns on the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's going to be visible on the spandex.
Yeah, they were saying they were thinking for the fabric. Now, I've personally done it before where I've had it out of a rounded edge, and I've used it on mm-hmm. curved craft foam before with spandex, and I found that I didn't have an issue with puckering, but it may have been also the design that I created for it. So it's hard for me to say for certain how it's going to work until you dive mm-hmm. in and do it. So it's a good thing you're experimenting at least.
Right. And I may or may not be able to do darts simply because the design that I'm working on doesn't have visible seams that way. I'd have to work the dart into one of the existing seams, which would pull the fabric even further. It
mm-hmm.
would pull it more than I need it to, basically. So I can do a little bit of experimentation with darts, but I don't think that that's a technique I'll be able to use here. Darn anime and their lack of seams.
Anime is not real. You got to make your seams happen as they are.
I know. It is still going to have seams.
Oh, it's going to have to have seams.
Yeah, the pieces are going to be stitched together at the sides. It will have seams. I'm just trying to minimize them.
Right. Oh, anime.
Of course. Yeah, I will have to experiment a little bit more with the glues, plus the weather, because we just had a cold snap here in the area. The weather is inhibiting my use of adhesives to a point, just because it affects how they set.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's slow going. Unfortunately, I have to go with what Mother Nature gives me. So my hope is that by the next time I see you guys, or at least by AllCon, I should have the corset done. And then I can very studiously clean off my craft table, and I'm giving it the evil eye because there are things on it, because I will be using white fabric on it. And as anybody who has used white fabric knows, it attracts dirt like nobody's business. So if you have anything on the surface that you are working on, including finger oils,
yep,
it will get on the fabric. So I'm going to have to clean that very studiously before I put the fabric down on it to cut it. Yep, so that's mostly what I've been working on, just getting rid of spare fabrics, purging some more. I am pleasantly pleased by my purging process. I have so much less stuff now. And then slowly working on Athena, which, if I go to Project Akon, my goal is to have her done for that, and I will wear her at Akon.
Okay.
Akon is 4 days. I will probably not be there all 4 days. If I go, and that's not for sure, it will probably only be 2 days. So I could wear Deedlet and Athena. Old school.
Yay, we like old school.
Yeah, I'm actually really kind of eager to start working on those Lolita patterns. It's just too warm to wear in the summer, though.
Yeah, that's part of the lovely fun of that.
Lots and lots of layers with heavy fabrics. But it will...
Death.
It will hopefully be pretty when it's done. It's going to be all purples, amethysts.
Yay! All right.
I love creating stuff.
We moving on?
We are moving on up.
We are moving on up. Definitely not to the east side, though.
No, actually, it would be the south side of here.
Yeah. Actually, that would be right.
Yep, so we have announcements for, speaking of AllCon.
For AllCon! Yay! We have all of our judges finalized for AllCon, and we can finally announce who is going to be helping us with our contest this year. So first off, we have Hoku Props, and I believe we're actually going to get both team members from Hoku Props. They are going to be at AllCon as part of cosplay representatives for TNT Cosplay Supply, who is also a sponsor for our contest. Yay! Thank you again. And if that name sounds really, really familiar, you probably know them as the winners of the very first TwitchCon cosplay contest many, many moons ago. It wasn't that long ago, but it really was that long ago when you think about it.
Not 9 years long ago.
No, not that long ago, but at least, like, I think it's year five we're on now? Question mark?
It sounds
about right. But yeah, they are an incredibly amazing team who have done so many spectacular big builds. And I mean big builds that are very impressive.
And detailed.
Very detailed. And it's going to be incredible to have them with us. So I'm really, really happy that they said yes. Yay!
I drooled over their pictures.
I know.
Of their various works, because they have a pretty extensive portfolio.
Right?
Holy cow, man.
They do a lot of fun, cool stuff. The next one is Miko Miko Cosplay, who I know I personally have judged at another contest before. Most people have probably known her for her fursuit. Really incredible, very detailed fursuits. But she does all various types of cosplay, and it is just incredible work. And I'm really glad that she was able to join us this year. So yay for that. And then the last one is going to be a returning judge, Meow About Cosplay. And she has been in our contest before. She's won our contest before. And she's judged for us before. So it'll be nice to have a veteran on the team who can whip everybody else into shape if they get out of line.
Yep, that's another incentive to participate in our contest, as we do like to pull judges from participants.
Absolutely. We know you guys know how the contest runs, so you can easily jump right on in and help us out. Hey.
Yep.
So yeah, that's all I have for AllCon announcements, other than please go sign up. because that would be great. We would love for everybody to sign up and win all of these magnificent prizes that I can't show you because they're taking up half of my crafting space. Literally.
Just a reminder that we are capping participation at 50. That
yes.
is 50. So if you are interested in possibly participating for the contest, even if you're not sure, we highly encourage you to register early.
Do it.
Because we will need to cut off registration once we reach that cap. There is no wait list. We cut it off at 50.
So if you decide that you want to change your costume, you can totally do that too. That is fine with us. Just register now to at least save your spot, because once we hit 50, that's it. No more. Game over.
And I would just like to note that the prizes are so good that I actually looked into purchasing one of the crickets myself.
I have two.
I started researching.
I have two. And what the funny thing is that the sewing machine that I have now that I love so much, I've had it for like 7 years, my Viking Emerald. The only reason I got it was because I saw it as a prize at a cosplay contest. And I heard so many people talking about it that I researched it. And I ended up getting it as a Christmas gift for my parents because it's the best Christmas gift I've ever received. So
not only can the Cricut cut backed fabric pieces,
mm-hmm.
you could also use it to cut patterns.
Yeah, it'll do patterns too, guys. And it'll cut through foam. I know that sounds crazy, but it will cut through craft foam.
So you can do all sorts of accessories and props work with a Cricut. I started researching like Cricut for cosplay, just to see all the ways people have used it for cosplay purposes.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And it doesn't even have to be the full Cricut Maker package, which is their top model.
Mm-hmm.
They've also got a Cricut Explore Air.
Yes.
Which is the next model down. It still does all of those things.
That's the one that we're giving away, the Explore Air 2. Yeah, and I made sure to get the special tool specifically to help with the thicker fabrics, so that way it'll cut all fabrics.
It's so cool, you guys.
It's really neat. Yeah, the overall Best in Show prize, it is worth more than $600. When we actually totaled everything out, the value is over $600. So it's insane how big the prize is. It's kind of scary.
So, of course, thank you again to Hoku Props and Migo Migo Cosplay, and of course, Meow About Crafts for offering to help us out. We very, very much appreciate that.
And again, TNT Cosplay Supply for your stupendous donation. Oh, gravy. Could not do this without you.
Yep. For everybody who has helped us with a cosplay contest, you guys really do help us out. We end up running around like chickens with no heads on that day.
And thank you, of course, to the two assistants that are currently in chat right now. We appreciate you guys so much, and we can't wait to see you running around with us on Saturday.
You guys get to keep your heads. We don't.
We don't.
All right, so let's move on to tonight's topic.
Yeesh.
The real world cosplay?
I think that was an appropriate title, and I think I might keep that as the title of this episode.
Cosplay edition.
Yeah, I think I was thought about doing cosplay edition, but it's just like one word too many. I don't know. But if you come up with something better, which you probably will, you're more than welcome to suggest changes.
We'll see how the discussion goes first.
But I figured to kind of give people an idea of what the heck do you mean real world cosplay edition? What does this mean? Basically, we're going to talk about lessons learned from cosplay that can be applied to everyday life. And I'm going to use an anecdote from my experiences this week, because this week I had to interview a number of people for a position that we have opening in my department. I'm not HR. I don't know how to interview people. I've never interviewed people before. I know nothing about this stuff. But it was expected of me to do these things because this person will be working with me pretty much 95% of the time. So it was like, oh, great. This is awesome. I hate my life. So I had a whole lot of, as Amber sighs, I had a whole lot of anxiety going into it because I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I've been on the interviewing side of the table, but not the interviewer. I've been the interviewee. So it was a whole new level of stress. But funny enough, what helped me kind of calm down and relax a little bit was thinking about cosplay. Sometime Sunday evening, I just started thinking about cosplay contests and how I've judged them in the past. And whenever I give my panel about cosplay contests, I always talk about how you need to approach it like you're going to a job interview. You know, you got to be clean, you got to be pressed, you got to be poised, you got to be respectful, you got to speak clearly, speak loudly. And I just sat there thinking, okay, well, I've been on the judge's table. What have I done as a judge? Well, I've asked them questions about their experience, about their knowledge, why they made the garment the way that they did. And slowly I began to realize, oh, I could probably do this interviewing thing. Yeah, the questions aren't going to be about cosplay. But having that experience of being a contest judge, I was able to translate that into interviewing someone. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, and made everything more manageable. So there you go. There's an example of what we're talking about.
And there's, of course, lots of things that you learn as you go through cosplay in general.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of planning type things you learn.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of self-education when you have to learn things. There's even networking skills that
yes.
you learn when you go to conventions, whether you're a panelist or an attendee. There are plenty of budgeting things you can learn, not just from making the cosplay, but having to take it places and budget for things like hotels,
right?
And parking and storage space, because mm-hmm. you have to store it when you're done.
Oh, man. Or even working as a group. If you've never had to do a group project before, if you never worked on a team at your job or at school or whatever, working with a cosplay group opens up a whole new world of learning responsibility and time management and communication, definitely, mm-hmm. and learning how to responsibly share tasks with each other. Like if somebody's really good with wigs, you put them on wig duty. Someone's great at making props, you put them on the props. And translating that into reality when you're in a team situation, it's like, okay, you're really good at coming up with our opening statements or opening lines. You focus on that. You want to work on the bulk of the paper. Cool. I can do the research and we can share it this way.
Mm-hmm. And if you get to the point where you would like to make cosplay your business,
mm-hmm.
which plenty of people have done, it opens up a whole nother kettle of business skills that you have to learn, not necessarily master, just because it's difficult to be a master of any one skill.
Sure.
But you definitely learn things like marketing yourself. You have to learn about things like inventory, because you want people to be able to purchase things from you. You learn how to run a storefront so that you have a way of managing incoming cash and then making sure that you can ship out your items and get them to people on time in one piece with good quality. You learn about manufacturing things. Maybe you end up having to have somebody else manufacture your things. Even in cosplay, we don't always make all of our own stuff. Sometimes we buy it from somebody else. And so you have to conduct business transactions. If cosplay is your business, you're the one running those transactions. So there's all sorts of fun stuff, even including like paying business taxes that you have to worry about in there. So you learn a little bit of accounting in the process. And then of course, there's the whole maintenance phase of your business. You have to keep inventory in stock. You go to conventions, you sell your wares, you market your wares, and you basically keep the cycle going. And on top of all of that, because as if that wasn't enough.
This sounds so daunting.
Then you have to keep up with new trends, because if you only sell one thing, people are only going to know you for one thing, and you're going to have a very small segment of the cosplay population,
yep.
cos population, if you will, who purchases your wares. So you have to bring in new merch. You have to see what's trending, what do cosplayers want to buy, what do they want to spend money on. How much do they want to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Because as we know, if something actually is going to cost $200 to make, cosplayers are going to want to pay $50.
Everybody wants to pay $50.
I mean, I don't mind paying $50, but if I'm only going to get $50 worth of quality out of it, I'd rather pay the $200 and get the better quality.
Right.
I don't want my costume literally falling down around my legs as I'm at a convention. Not cool.
No, not cool, bro.
Especially with all those cameras around. Not cool. Pay the $200 and get a well-stitched costume, people.
Please. To kind of scale it back a little bit, even just the small things while you're working on your costume can be applied to life lessons. Like one thing that I was thinking about with this was learning to be okay with making mistakes. Because that's something I struggle with a lot, but for some reason, when I'm working on my hobby and cosplaying and sewing, I've kind of transitioned into this, eh, I made a mistake, I can undo it and keep on plugging away. And it doesn't matter if you're trying a new craft for the first time or if you're doing it like for the 5,000th time, you're always going to make mistakes. Mistakes will happen. A good example for me is I still sew the sleeves on the wrong side out. Every time without fail. I've gotten better about the pants, really bad about it with sleeves. But over time, I've learned not to be frustrated by it. Instead, what it's taught me to do is instead of going full power and just sewing everything together, realizing my mistake, and then spending hours seam ripping all of it apart, what I do now is I do a baste stitch. So I make sure that I just do something light and easy, turn it all inside out, make sure it's correct. Then I go back through and restitch everything down. Or I do the kimono method where you don't do the side seams, you lay everything flat, attach the sleeves first, then you do the side seams all the way up through the shirt. That way it's all nice and even. So you're probably thinking, how does that work in the real world? Well, for me, what it's taught me is to look beyond the mistake and find different resolutions that can help me learn. Or to help ease some of my mistakes in the future. So, kind of reframing how you look at that mistake and then putting it into a new context or into a new box or even to a new circle, triangle, whatever you want to use. And it all comes together that way. You timed that so nicely. I just finished my sentence.
It's all good. Speaking of self-experience,
Yeah.
one that I wanted to add was you can also get to a point in your cosplay where you teach other people how to do it.
Yes.
And you teach what are effectively panels. And I say effectively because not everybody goes to conventions and teaches it. Some people do YouTube videos or podcasts like we do. So it basically, all of them boil down to being panels in one way or another. And so then you get to learn not just about planning and organization. You get to learn about time management, for one, because you have very limited time in which to teach everything. But you also have to turn around and look at cosplay from the other side of the camera. It's like literally being a photographer and then going to being the one in front of the camera. You have to look at it from the other point of view and figure out how you're going to explain all these different concepts that you know how to do. You can do them. Now you have to explain them to other people in a way that they understand it, which means that you have to look at it from their perspective. And sometimes that's very awakening as an experience because you don't realize some things until you look at it from a different angle. And you also realize just how hard it can be to explain some of these things.
And that's the thing, it's like even it doesn't matter where you are in life, at one point or another, you're gonna end up having to teach someone something. It doesn't have to be a classroom setting. It could be, showing them how to make a PowerPoint presentation. It could be helping your parents with a tech issue. It could be helping train a new employee with the job that you're at. You're going to be teaching at some point or another in your life. It doesn't have to be in a formal setting. So that's where it can also come into play.
And whenever you go teach panels at a convention, you also have to, speaking of the interview process that we just talked about, you have to submit your panels to a panel of people that actually go and review all of your content. They look up who you are because they actually do care who's teaching their panels.
Most of the time.
And then they go through a full review process and they evaluate your panel. So it's just like doing an interview. Except that most of the time it's only going to be on paper. Rarely do they have you actually come in and talk to them about what your content is going to be. Maybe that would be a third or a fourth round if they need it. But you still have to prepare for that. So you have to know your content front and back to be able to not only teach it to the panels or the attendees at the panel, but also the panelists or the board that is reviewing your panel. They'll ask you questions. It's the same sort of thing when you go in front of the cosplay judges. You have to know your costume and your material so well that you can answer questions about it.
Yeah, for a real world equivalent, not only is it good for an interview setting, but if you are in class right now, learning having those strong writing skills to being able to describe what your panel is and showing that you have knowledge of this information, incredibly important. And again, if it is for a work situation, depending on where you're working, sometimes you do have to submit proposals before you're allowed to move forward in a project. And the panel situation is a fantastic example of how you submit a proposal before it gets accepted and you move on to the next phase.
Yep. And just to include a little bit more physical skill, because a lot of these skills we're talking about are somewhat soft skills, but the skills that you learn in a lot of prop making apply to working around the house.
Oh, absolutely.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be learning to work with wood. Well, there's plenty of furniture and accessories in your abode, your domicile, that are made of wood. Sometimes you may need to retouch painting on an appliance. Sometimes you may need to work with power tools. You may need to know the properties of spray paint if you need to change the color of something. Having sewing skills, even basic sewing skills, just using literally a hand needle and thread through fabric, you can mend your own clothing and make it last so much longer. Or you can even upscale and thrift by patching some clothing that you purchase from a store and make it even more fashionable, make it more to your own liking. And all that takes is literally a needle and thread. So a lot of the more physical skills that you learn as you make cosplay, as you learn to do makeup, how to style hair, all of those apply in the real world to their counterparts.
I definitely feel way more comfortable doing a lot of electricity work around the house because of my work on cosplay and helping friends with their prop build. I've learned so much doing that that it doesn't bother me to go fix a light switch now.
I've learned a lot about makeup through cosplay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know anything about makeup until I started cosplaying. I never wore makeup before.
I've also learned a lot about tailoring clothing to fit through cosplay. Because normally the clothing that you buy from the store is not tailored to you, unless you actually go to a tailor.
Another one that I have on my list, too, was learning how to respond to criticism, which happens quite often in cosplay. And I know criticism tends to be viewed as negative, like, oh, criticism. But criticism really means is like to analyze and evaluate, to provide thoughtful feedback. So if somebody says your costume sucks, they're just being a jerk. That's not criticism. If somebody says, I really love the fabric that you chose for this costume, but just would recommend that you keep your hemlines a little bit nicer and cleaner because it's not quite straight. Otherwise, this is beautiful. That's criticism. And you definitely get that a lot for cosplay contests when you're on a judging panel, because you almost get instant feedback of, oh, okay. But it's great to know, just in life in general, how to respond to those situations, not to just immediately take it as an attack on you or your personality. This is about you trying to improve your craft. And we know we have those criticisms in our daily life from our family, friends, work, school, everywhere. And it's just knowing to accept them, learn from them, and then take a step forward and be like, okay, how can I grow from this? How can I incorporate this information into my next build or into my next paper or into the next time I go for that job interview or ask for a raise?
I would almost expand that to just knowing how to respond in general.
Yeah.
To criticism or not. As a cosplayer, you may accumulate fans. And the fans want to interact with you. And it's good to be able to know how to interact with them on a social level properly, but to keep them engaged with your brand. Because ultimately, once you reach that level, your cosplay becomes your brand. And then you have to maintain that brand.
Yeah.
You kind of have to maintain that face to the world, because people will start having expectations of you. And then you have to decide, is this something I want to do? Because you're certainly not required to do it. And, you know, speaking of physical real life skills, you know, having a healthy diet, taking care of yourself, making sure that you hydrate plenty and you know, the things that they always tell you to do at conventions. 621, you know, right. Get sleep, eat, hydrate. All of those things still apply in real life. It doesn't stop just because you take your costume and hang it up in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Definitely take those hobby skills and expand upon them, because they're more than just something relaxing and fun to do. They can provide some real solid life skills.
Yep, and you can always take those life skills and put them into your cosplay as well.
Absolutely. Works both ways.
Face-off cosplay edition.
Well, it's not really a face-off when it's like a good connecting train thing. No, that was descriptive, Val.
The movie, they switch their faces.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a good John Woo film. With a very questionable Nick Cage, but you know, it's Nick Cage, so it's fine. He's good at what he does because he's Nick Cage.
He is a national treasure.
He really is. Hey, they're making a third movie.
And on that note, we're calling in this episode 203 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay and Nick Cage, apparently. We'd like to thank you guys for being with us on this episode. Of course, if you would like to join in with your favorite Nick Cage movie or things that you have learned in cosplay that apply to real life, or perhaps things you've learned in real life that apply to cosplay, feel free to share any of those with us on any of our social media, which of course you can find here
in the corner. And I think I'm going to immediately post on our Facebook page, what's your favorite Nick Cage movie? And confuse everybody who's not watching right now.
Alternatively, you guys can show us pictures of your Nick Cage cosplay. But at any rate, we're going to wish you guys happy cosplaying. Thank you so much. See you guys next time in 204. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.